Good morning, my beloved brothers, and God bless each of you as we come together on this Freedom Friday to share this very special time of information, inspiration, and encouragement. And I take great, delicious delight in welcoming each of you to this corporate and collective prayer cycle. Thank you so much for your adherence to our request, as we have engaged in very lively conversation since about 6 o'clock until 6:25. We're delighted to have each of you on the phone as we have, in our conversations, considered our future. And we pray that God will bless us to have a favorable outcome with this election. And we praise God for each of you. We're delighted, as always, to have all the brothers on the phone. Our numbers have been impressive this week. No day this week have we gone below 150. And for the last couple of days, we have been in the 160 mark. So thank you for inviting yet other brothers to join our time of prayer and fellowship. Thank you so much. We're delighted, as always, to have our Supreme Council members to join us on the call, current and past members of our Supreme Council. And we're delighted, as always, to have several of our grand officers on the phone. Included in that recognition of grand officers, we must recognize our visionary, Bishop Staccato Powell, who joins us each day that he can on the phone, and we're praising God for his presence and his participation and for his continued prayers. We're delighted to have our immediate past grand bosses on the phone. GB40, Dr. Antonio F. Knox is on the phone with us on this Freedom Friday, and I welcome him now to join us on this call and give us any comments that he would like for us to have. So, brothers, let us now rise in spirit and receive Brother Dr. Tony Knox. God bless you, Dr. Knox. You have the phone.
Amen.
Thank you, Reverend
Amen.
Doctor. And good morning, brothers. Brothers, it's always a blessing to have an opportunity to be here with you. Brothers, let's hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. For he who promised is faithful, and God's word never fails. Brothers, as we come together each and every morning praying for mankind, we come with prayer warriors. One of our prayer warriors, Brother Abe Lyles, lost his brother. Let's please keep Brother Lyles lifted in prayer as he goes through this trying time. And also, brothers, last night, Brother Charles Elliott from Delaware went from labor to reward. Let's keep the Elliott family lifted in prayer. And as we've heard, we lost our good brother, Doug Spears. Brothers, as we come together praying for mankind and praying for others, we must always keep our arms around those faithful prayer warriors and those who've led us thus far. And brothers, each and every day, you make a difference. Others look to this organization and look to you in particular to be that difference and to bring forth change, and that you do. Brothers, I thank you for it each and every day, and please know that I love you all.
Dr. Knox, we love you as well, and we're always anticipating with tiptoe anticipation, help us as we go forward. So thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you, Reverend Doctor.
My brothers, what a joy it is every other Friday to have joined us on the line our 7th District Chaplain covering the states of Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, and Alabama. And on this Freedom Friday, I present to you, without further ado, Brother Reverend Pastor Roy Johnson. God bless you. Brother Johnson, you have the phone, sir.
Amen.
Dr. Johnson. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Grand. And brothers, look with me, if you will, to Paul's second missionary journey. Let me give you an overview. In yesterday's reading, John Mark, Barnabas' cousin and traveling companion for part of the first missionary journey, became the focus of a sharp dispute between Paul and Barnabas. And as a result, the two veteran missionaries part company. Barnabas stays with John Mark and sails for Cyprus. Paul, accompanied by Silas and Timothy, travels more than 3,000 miles, planting and building up churches in Macedonia Minor. My brothers, it was while on this journey at a place called Troas where in the middle of the night a strange feeling came over Paul, and a stranger appeared to him in the night, beckoning him to come on over into Macedonia and help us. Oh, you know that feeling, that instinctive urge that comes upon you when you know that you're supposed to be somewhere else, doing something else with somebody else that will be life-changing in your journey. It was that strange feeling, that unusual sensation that we have all felt when we are called to go against conventional wisdom and your soul won't be satisfied until you act on it. Those who are sons of the German philosophy, first inspired by the work of the German theologian Martin Luther, they had a name for it. In the middle of the 1960s, Martin Luther King Jr. so identified this sensation, this unusual feeling, this spirit moving him with the German term, he called it the Zeitgeist. And he attributed his contribution to making the world in which we live a better place and his role in it as his being tracked down by the Zeitgeist. I would imagine that some of this feeling, some of this unusual experience was the motivation of three young Howard undergraduates and a brash 28-year-old professor who breathed life into the Greek expression "ophelema philia psychis," or friendship is essential to the soul. But all of us have been to enough frat meetings to know that there are times when even we fall out with our friends. Disagreement among those who love each other is not a new phenomenon. But sometimes you've got to march to the beat of the drummer that you hear and still love your brother and sister in the process. Look at your daily walk. Disagreements in organizations and certainly disagreements in church are nothing new. Even Paul and Barnabas had a dispute, but we can learn much from the way that they wisely resolved their conflict. Now, the reason for their sharp disagreement was John Mark, who had left the team midway through the first journey. Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement, was concerned primarily for the worker, John Mark, and wanted to give his cousin a second chance. Now, I would imagine that each of you have been in the chapter meeting when you learn that some young undergraduate has done something that shows that he has just lost his mind. And your graduate chapter meeting is divided as to what the role of those who are gray in head and long in tooth should be. Well, Paul said Barnabas had patience for the young John Mark and wanted to accept him and save him. Paul, on the other hand, was more concerned about the work that they had to do, not wanting to lose the momentum of the first journey through yet another desertion. And in the end, they parted company to form two gospel teams instead of one. Bishop Powell, that's what Baptists do. We fall out and we multiply by dividing. The impact of Paul's second journey is well documented in today's section. And then later on in Paul's letter to the Colossian church and his second letter to Timothy, Paul himself warmly notes John Mark's contribution to his ministry. Being reconciled does not always mean holding the same view. Sometimes it can mean agreeing to disagree in the spirit of love and humility. My brothers, are you having a disagreement with somebody today? I urge you to take the first step. The person, I accept you as you are. Let's support one another as we labor for God's glory. Paul learned to enlarge his capacity to forgive and accept and love unconditionally when he and his now traveling companion Silas had acted on that strange urging of the Spirit and went down into Macedonia, into the city of Philippi, only to find himself thrown in a Philippian jail. But it was while he was captive that my Bible teaches me that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto the Lord, learning along the way that force may subdue, but love gains. The person that forgives first wins the laurel. Let me lend some insight. Once enemies, now brothers. Even though Paul had just washed his hands of the Jews in Corinth, declaring his mission to the Gentiles, Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, and his household soon believed in Jesus. Apparently, Sosthenes soon replaced Crispus as leader of the synagogue and then stood with Paul before the Roman tribunal. It is likely that this same Sosthenes later co-signed Paul's first letter to the Corinthians as a brother in Christ. This tells me that there was some spiritual development that even the Apostle Paul had to do. And my brothers, I learned that we are never too old, nor too erudite, nor too high and mighty that we can't learn lessons of patience and compassion and forgiveness and humility and selflessness that we must learn to do. We are called at times to strip ourselves so that we might better clothe a brother. Go to the Lord with me. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, the dawning of this new day presents to each of us yet another opportunity to learn how to get things right. Lord, in the days of my youthful exuberance, somebody was patient with me. Somebody looked upon me with an unusual portion of long suffering and showered their bounty on me. And Lord, as I move toward the sacred November season of the founding of our fraternity, I am once again reminded that I must be of the spirit that a real friend will never get away from me, nor try to, nor want to. Lord, though it is the year of our Lord, 2020, we happen to be living in the Dickensian paradox of the best of times and the worst of times. And it is going to take what we learned in the long ago in Sunday school, along with our cardinal principles, to challenge us daily to learn even in the now, to come to yet even deeper understanding of friendship being essential to my soul. And it is for that reason, Lord, that I come to understand that when my brother has a problem, I have a problem. When my brother's spirit is troubled, then I cannot be at ease. When my brother's broken heart is broken, that is evidence of a clarion call, a spiritual awakening rising within me to be my brother's keeper. So it's easy for me to pray this morning because Ray Johnson hears that call. And he's thanking you, Lord, that his line brother Virgil Thompson was able to sacrifice and spend qualitative time with his father, Virgil Thompson Sr., before his father transitioned from labor to reward. Be with the Thompson family today in the Queen City in Ohio. Our brother Michael Brown, spiritual warrior on the West Coast, he heeds your call this morning, and he asked for prayer for the 12th District Representative Kwame Dow and the Dow family because they lost their biological brother Frank in recent days. Brother Brown also brings to our attention that Brother Ronald Coates went to the Omega chapter back in April. Our brother Ron Williams feels as well a deep sense of loss because he lifts up a prayer also for the Kwame Dow family. Hear the prayer of Brother Abram Lyles, because he has lost a brother, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. His oldest brother has moved from labor to reward after a brief illness. Michael Wright is tearful for our brother, for it is with a heavy heart that he requests prayer for Brother Charles Elliott's family, who transitioned from labor to reward on yesterday. But Lord, just as your mercies are new every morning, Robert Boo Cunningham knows that. And so this morning he's asking for fresh mercy for his father, overtaken by COVID, but after staying 3 months in the hospital, he's tested negative. Hear the Middle West prayer of Brother Richard Keller, for he prays for Brother Ricky Jones, the 10th District Counselor, who himself is ill with the coronavirus. And Jeffrey Talton, our brother, requests tender mercy, for he's praying for the young lass, Tyra Gilroy, for she's moving into major surgery this morning. Kenneth Faulkner solicits healing mercy. He's requesting prayer for Brother Emery Jones of Sci-Fi Chapter, who's having yet another procedure. And at last, our brother chaplain Ron Williams is asking prayer for Brother Dr. Raymond Hart, whose son tested positive for COVID-19. Lord, I thank you for your mercy shown even to my family last night. For just after our chaplain dismissed us in prayer in our first Thursday meeting, a 40-foot oak came crashing through my dining room ceiling, taking the back wall of my house and leaving a garage door-sized opening in the back of my house and an unwelcome skylight with its devastation. Yet, Lord, the night was dark enough that I could look through my roof to the heavens and see the stars. And my wife is safe, and my children and grandchildren are safe. And I can only thank you, Lord, for the grace and mercy of the excitement of sorting through the rubble and rebuilding yet again, even in this destruction that came upon us this past midnight. We can still pray a prayer of thanksgiving and sing praise to our God. And as the sun comes up and our new work begins, Lord, we shall ever remember to give you praise. This is our prayer that we lift up unto you on the wings of the morning, saying, my brothers, amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen.